Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
This show is an unscripted YouTube live stream. There's a YouTube link in the description box you can watch if you want. We put a chat room window up on the screen. And then for over an hour, I just sort of chatted and talked and monologued and ranted and responded to comments and questions in the comments box. So it's very much a random show. You're going to hear me in a very unpolished way, just kind of going here and there and stopping and doing this and that. But I think, you know, the unpolished nature of it is sort of adding to the charm. So if you want to jump into the chat room and just chill, we don't have really any rules today. It's just kind of a what if kind of a broadcast. I'm behind and I don't have a good excuse for being behind. You know, it's middle of June, right? And it's Oklahoma, and it is freaking 95 degrees. And yet I have been working for, I don't know how long, on Ghost Stories, the audiobook. You know, it's like working on a Halloween project in the middle of June. It's, you know, it's weird. It is, let me send a post out to Facebook and let everybody know we're going here. You know, it's weird for a producer anyway in the, and I'll switch over to the two screen with chat here in just a second. But, you know, it's weird because as a, in the theater of the mind, you are trying to create for the ears, the cues that give people a the resource to be able to build the images in their mind, which is often more engaging than just being spoon-fed in a movie theater in front of a television screen. When it comes to radio, you have to set it up so that you give them enough so that they can kind of freak themselves out in many cases. That's why many of the things that are the most powerful in audio, of course, but in visual mediums, is what you hear or don't hear. The pauses, the silence, the bumps in the night, you know, these little audible cues. And so here I am. It's like I'm producing a piece about a creature and I need a specific type of sound. And so then you have a discussion. You say, well, am I going to, you know, go out to one of my producer resources and I'm going to purchase this, or am I going to act it out on my own? So I'm here in the studio trying to make all of these. There's a story that I'd done a couple of years ago called Old Book. It's a play on a story about the crying tree. It's a common story. It's not a big mystery, but it's a short form story that talks about a guy who had died, and he used to lean against this tree, and whenever he finally passed away, they heard the tree emit a guttural moan. And so I'm like, well, you know, I need a guttural moan. I'm going through my list of sound effects in my library. Nothing sounds right. So here I am making sure the house is totally empty, making sure that no one is around to hear me. So even the neighbors aren't outside, you know, doing yard work, because who knows what they can hear through the walls. And I'm trying to be the crying tree. You know, I'm trying to give this guttural moan that a mighty oak might give. Blew my own voice out. And I kid you not, I was doing this, and right after I was finished, the doorbell rang, and it was my stepson. And so I don't know if he was out front and heard me. I was like, did you hear what I was doing? I was like, this, I'm acting. This is all part of the process. And, but it's, you know, you run into these weird producer type problems, and that's what Ghost Stories is. It's almost 4 hours of content, audio content. And every few seconds you find yourself with this new conundrum. What do I do? What am I going to add? Am I going to try to act it out myself? There's a portion that has police officers in it, you know? So I'm in the background trying to sound like cops, but not trying to sound like me. It's just been weird. But it's been amazing. It's been amazing. And I just, you know, I have to, for some reason, I'm required to be able to submit to ACX and Audible, which is the primary audiobook format. I have to do a Kindle version. They want an ISBN number and blah, blah, blah. So I just submitted the Kindle manuscript, but I'm behind. And I am, let me switch over here to the split screen. I'm behind, and I have no podcast on the roster next week. And so I just thought we'd just sort of stream something and see what it is that you want to talk about, see if there's anything that's on your mind. I have my Have a Good Day mug on tap here. It's my favorite mug in the whole house because you can't really see it quite as well until you get down to the bottom. So anyone, let me just come over to the chat and see what you have to say. Anything going on? Some very kind words. Thank you very much. There's so much happening. I'm unable to keep up with all of it. I don't have the skill of multitasking that many people have whenever it comes to doing a monologue and reading the chat and responding all at the same time. So please know that it is greatly appreciated. Forgive the sort of faintly red skin. I went out and played tennis yesterday. No sunscreen. Stupid. And especially as I get older and start to see Natalie doesn't call them age spots. They're sun spots, or she had some other really soft kind of name that's supposed to make me feel better about them. It's like crow's feet are now laugh lines. I have those. So anyway, I may look a little pink on screen. It's not you're not to adjust the hue on your monitor. It is simply it's simply me being too much in a hurry and too dumb to go out and actually SPF 15 myself before I played. I'm trying to get back on the court after tennis elbow surgery last year. Clint says he's a newly renounced Christian. That's good news. My favorite meal to cook right now. I'm not making this up. I learned it from HelloFresh, but I kept the recipe and I kind of altered the side dishes, but it's a figgy. It's like a fig jam pork tenderloin dish. And the original recipe has sweet potatoes cubed, and instead I like mashed potatoes, and then I do like a roasted broccoli, or we've been doing a roasted cauliflower that's you actually oil a little bit with olive oil, and then you put it in panko, salt and pepper, and you roll it in panko, and you get it nice and crispy, and you bake it for about 12 to 15 minutes at 375. It's delicious. It's delicious. Christina said she has something for my sunspots. I need it. I'd be interested in the death superpowers. It could be a Catholic thing where deceased loved ones can intercede and grant wishes like God. Well, I'm familiar with intercessory prayer, but I think it is the Catholic Church that is the one that we used to pray you out of purgatory. Now, not being a former Catholic, I can't speak to it nearly as well as others. But praying for the dead is, it's like the Mormon Church. You don't actually baptize the dead. You baptize a living person who is then the dead person's proxy on earth, and this is supposed to bring them out of, I think they can still be saved in the afterlife. So wouldn't that be convenient if you and I, you know, we fuck up our earthly lives, and then all of a sudden we are then rescued from somebody. After we die, they can go and just say, hey, you, be Seth for about 30 seconds. They take us over to the baptismal pool. They dunk us, and lo and behold, we have been born again. We've been raised out of the waters, and we are anew in spirit. And then I guess we go from hell to heaven, or we've been in limbo. We've been flying around some spiritual membrane. I'm not really sure how that works. The Mormon Church is wacky. We did a show about Mormonism with Bryce Blankenagel a few weeks ago, a month ago, a little more, I guess, talking about some of the sinister origins of the Mormon Church and some of the crazy history, bloody Brigham Young. If you haven't seen that broadcast, you totally should. Raven said, were you able to maintain friendships with believers post-deconversion? Most of my friends currently in town are Christians. Had breakfast with two of them this morning. They're precious people. And I am so grateful for them. It's occasionally maddening. But outside of my parents, most of the people that I hang with, religion, I mean, they throw the stuff out like, you know, let's pray for the meal, or my son's on a mission trip, but we don't get into debates or arguments. We just like each other as people. Roger has, hey, dude, thanks so much for the $10. He said, here's some gas money for your trip to Austin. On Saturday morning, I'm hopping in my car and I'm driving to Austin, Texas, about 6 hours. I finally get the chance to join the Atheist Experience for their television show. Matt Dillahunty is going to be there, and he called me and asked if I'd participate. They are celebrating show number 1,000. TV's not really my thing. I do a lot of video, but, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be different. I'm not a debate guy. I'm not great at debate. It's a very specific skill. Matt's much better at it. Tracy's much better at it. There are so many other people who know how to navigate debate, how not to get trapped, and because, you know, debate is performance in many ways, and a lot of debaters will work to try to get somebody at a point where, you know, it can be answered in a fortune cookie, and you're like, you say, I don't know the answer to that question. Let's go find out. But when you're on stage or in a format in front of a lot of people on the spot, you don't have the time. And so if you don't have the answer, then they can paint it as you are ignorant or you lost that portion of the argument. When the right answer might be, I don't know. I've done a few debates / discussions. A couple of them I was horrible. A couple of them I was okay. I'm really more about conversation with people. And we can debate within those conversations. We can try to get under each other's skin. How do we come to our beliefs? How did we get there? Why does it matter? These things are, you know, if we can deal with each other, not as labels, but as human beings first, then the rest, you know, that's a little bit easier to deal with. And I've been having this conversation online about how often I just did a speech in Ohio about how so often we approach those we disagree with as idiots and stupid and you're wrong and you're, you know, some of the more, you know, acerbic ones we'll call every horrible name in the book. Hell, they might be, huh? But is this really how you and I function when we're going out trying to change minds? And if we're not trying to change minds, you know, why bother? Jesus Christ. Morton says, thank you for all you do. Would love to meet over a cold drink. Norway. How much is 500 in Norway dollars? That's like $1 million, right? Like, thank you for that. Whatever that is in American money. Thank you. You're very kind. Thanks for supporting me. This is what I do full time. It's what pays my bills. But most importantly, it's what I'm passionate about. You know, and you can find what you love and find a way to pay the bills doing it. It's like the dream, man. If you ever visit Amsterdam, I would be honored. Tina is just coming out of Catholicism. Tina, you're not alone. You're not crazy. And all that guilt they're going to pour on you and pile on you, just shake it off. Shake it off. You know, it's all good. You're not broken. You're not born a sinner. You're not all the horrible things they say you are. You don't have to be spoon-fed your mission, purpose, theology, whatever, personality, sexuality, whatever, by the priesthood. You are who you are. Live your life. Congratulations on breaking free. It's not an easy journey, but it's one well worth taking. You will love breathing the free air. Justine says, peace from London. Zach says, how do you cope with losing close friends over your loss of faith? If somebody leaves me because of what I think, that's not really a friend. If we disagree on this, we can't be friends. They weren't a friend. Bye. Now, it sucks when it happens. I'm sorry, but it's really a revelation more than a loss. And if you're going to tell me we must agree or you must be like me for me to love you or accept you, you're not my friend. You're looking for validation, not friendship. Bye. Shane says, not everyone in Ohio is a bad shit crazy theist. Dude, I know. I was just there. We just had the big free thought event. They've got a wonderful free thought group just outside of Akron. They took me to this evangelist's tower. God, I took photographs of it. You know what? Hang on. I think I still have the pictures close by. This is, we're going to do this old school here. It was an evangelist. What the hell was his name? And he built this big tower. And he, I don't know if they were going to use it as, do you go in the tower? It wasn't like a prayer tower, but it was some like beacon, some holy beacon. And, oh God, I think I got a photograph of, yeah, of me standing against it. Ernest Angley or Angley. And here's, I don't know if you can see that, but there's the tower. And the guy went bankrupt, okay? And they never did finish the tower. And so now I guess they just put cell phone receptors or transmitters on it. And I guess the guy was just, I don't know if he was a loon or a con or what. I mean, I don't say that lightly, but I guess he had some really wacky ideas. And he was pretty well-funded for a while. But they start this big tower. And I don't know if it's, they call it the, oh God, somebody find out what Ernest Angley's tower is called up there, because they had a great name for it. And that's how it's known in that area. That's what people referred to it as. Let's see. Jordan Peterson, you know, I'm not going there today. Don't have the patience. Don't have the patience. Occam's razor, $5. Thanks so much. I've been an atheist since August 26, still closeted. I'm going to be 20 in August. Congratulations on almost 20, my friend. Boris says, I like your glasses. It's weird doing the stream of consciousness show with the chat room. Do you enjoy this? Is this fun for you? I mean, I'm just rolling. I got these like 5 years ago. They're so used. I don't know if you can see this on the, I can't see anything really, but the pigmentation, the dye or whatever you call it in the plastic of the lens has turned white, is turning white on each side. So, I mean, I'm using them. I've dropped them probably 300 times, usually in airports as I'm fumbling through all my stuff. But these things have lasted for a long, long time. They are trifocals. Which gives me no real joy, but they do allow me to see what I'm doing. Cathedral of Tomorrow, Cathedral Tower. No, there's a nickname for that tower. If I had time, I would call. Anybody else have a comment or question? You guys want to see Henry real fast?
Henry, where you at, buddy? Come here, pal.
Here, let me grab my son.
Come here, buddy.
This is my son. Henry is one of the success stories of my life. Let me see if I can get a full screen shot here. There you go. Hey, buddy. He's 3.6 pounds. He is a Chihuahua Yorkie mix, they think. He was part of a puppy mill rescue, been with us for just over 4 years. I call him old boneless because he just dissolves in your lap. He just dissolves in your arms. He just melts. He completely surrenders. He's had such a hard first 8 years of his life, and I grieve to think of him, locked in this puppy mill environment. And now he's got a soft bed and a pillow, and he's got his own blankets, and he's got chews and car rides, and he's got peanut butter treats and tummy rubs. And I am such a pushover. I just love this old guy so much. So anyway, he looks like he probably wants to go back to his bed and go to sleep. You want to go to sleep, pal? You want to go to sleep? It's funny because Rat Dog has beautifully sort of coiffed fur that flows off of her, right? And Henry is just a ragamuffin. It looks like somebody hot glued hair to a rat. It just sort of explodes out of him randomly.
Yeah. Yeah.
When your microphone is bigger than your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive the digression. I love my critters. All right, where am I? The Ark Encounter protest. That's happening on July the 7th. That's going to be on the exit ramp of the Ark Encounter just in Petersburg, Kentucky. It'll be the third year they've done it. And, you know, the Tri-State Freethinkers and American Atheists all sort of converged. And they decided, you know, let's draw a big circle around how insane this whole idea is. The fact that we're having to talk about biblical literalism, especially in regard to the global flood in the year 20, at that time, 16, it's just stupid. And whether or not you think Kinham is a businessman or a true believer, who really knows, but they wanted to go and sort of, as Johnny Pike would say, change the narrative. And that's exactly what they did. So while Kinham is busy talking about, oh, we've got this amazing $110 million paperweight going on in Petersburg, all the atheists go out and they have a, you know, big banners that say genocide and incest park and this boat won't float and I wouldn't give two bits for your cubits and this is a taxpayer-funded atrocity you know, the Flintstones is not a documentary. They had all of these different great signs out there. And guess who the news media focused on? They focused on the atheists and the skeptics and the freethinkers. And so they did another protest last year, almost was able to go, but couldn't quite get there. And so I'll be a speaker this year. I'm just going to take the platform for a couple minutes. Mostly I'm going to hold a sign, hang out with my buddies and meet a bunch of new people and have some fun at the highway entrance of one of the biggest wastes of money, one of the most egregious monuments to anti-science in the United States of America. I've toured the Ark Encounter. It's as bad or worse than you think it is. I produced a video about it. I'll spare you the narration, the revisit. You can just go and Atheists at the Ark Encounter. Go watch. Go look at it. Go take 10 minutes and take the tour. I took it so you don't have to. And you'll see what we're up against. And you got these, you know, homeschool moms dragging their kids into this thing. It's just brutal to think that they're force-feeding flood geology and anti-evolution nonsense to these poor, young, innocent children. Jesus can't dunk on me, says, you grew up in Tulsa. If you enjoyed the S.E. Hinton books as a kid, I didn't spend much time on S.E. Hinton, but I was familiar with them. Orlando, I will be back there in November. I'll be back. I think I'm doing Orlando on Sunday, the 11th of November. We're going to do a tour stop there and hang out with everybody. And I may be in Tampa on the Saturday before. That's, I think, the 10th. Check me on that. November, it's the second weekend in November. I haven't been touring nearly as much this year. I've just honestly been producing, and being traveling just makes that nearly impossible. I mean, you see, I don't even have a show on the docket for next week. It just jacks up my chi. It misaligns my chakras. My energies are imbalanced, and I can't get to the workout for everybody else. But I still love going out. So the Ark Encounter protest is going to be good. I'm going to be in Chicago in September. There's another one coming up. I don't know. They'll all be on the website. So no overseas. How many American politicians do you think are legit religious? Total speculation. Most of them around here, I suspect, are absolutely sincere. We have a local election. Well, we have state election. Coming up here on Tuesday, okay? And you should see the way if I had time, I was going to do a tour of the campaign websites and promotional materials for local politicians. And Mel Shore, thank you for the donation of $5. Greatly appreciated. The posters are they're the cliche, right? First of all, they all shopped at the campaign store, so that's all. He's a man or a woman from Oklahoma, a native of Oklahoma, born and bred, raised, if you're into that kind of thing. A man of faith. It's almost right out of the gate, one of the first things you hear. A man who loves God, who loves his state, loves his country. God bless America. And so then they run the TV ads, which are, you know, they got the flag waving in the background and they've got the patriotic music playing and faith in God and faith in God. He's a man of faith. 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 It is, it's brutal to watch this stuff because I think many of them are, they know how to play to the Oklahoma crowd. I do think most of them are true believers, but they're also savvy enough to know that if they didn't say a man of God or a man of faith, that their opponent is going to play that card against them, and now they're an evil Satan worshiper who was ashamed of his faith. And so it's kind of a setup, no matter how you slice it. I mean, if we were to rewrite, and again, if I'd had the time, I would have produced a video along these lines. If we were to rewrite those with the definition of faith, faith claiming to know what you do not know, or faith claiming as true what you do not know. Let's, you know, what's a good way to phrase that? Matt, thank you very much for the $20. Greatly appreciated. Imagine scripting and producing it like that. So you would say, John Smith, he's a native Oklahoman. He's a man who claims to know what he does not know. Or he's a man who believes strongly what he cannot prove. That's faith. If you were to reframe it and rephrase it that way, it would change everything. But that's an honest way to look at it. You know? Jane Doe is a woman of faith. Jane Doe is a woman who claims as truth what she cannot prove. It's the same thing. But they have two totally different vibes. I'd like to see it done. I don't have the bandwidth to do it these days, but I would love to see it done. The rest of the live stream in just a few more audience comments and questions from the chat room, and we'll continue in just a second. It's amazing how much you and I have on our plate, isn't it? I mean, especially compared to what our parents went through and grandparents. It's not that they didn't work extremely hard, and likely harder than we did in many ways, but we have so much more coming at us, and we need convenience in our lives. We need more of the world to come to us to be able to make all this work. That's why Simple Contacts is vision care for the 21st century. If you need your contact lens prescription renewed and your contacts ordered, you can take a $20 exam with Simple Contacts using your own cell phone and computer. $20. The results are reviewed by licensed ophthalmologists. You get your contact lens renewal right then, right there. And you can order from all the brand names of contacts you know right there at Simple Contacts. It is amazing to see how this is done. If you've already got a current prescription, that's even easier. Just upload the information right then to Simple Contacts. You're all set. Simple Contacts has thousands of five-star reviews on their app store. And on top of the hugely inexpensive eye exam, you can get $30 off your contact lens order when you go to simplecontacts.com/SethAndrews and then use the promo code SethAndrews. Now, this is not going to replace your periodic full eye health exam because you are going to need that. But if your vision has not changed, then Simple Contacts is a great solution for you. Check out Simple Contacts. Get your $30 off at simplecontacts.com/SethAndrews. Promo code SethAndrews. Don't forget, my patrons get a 100% commercial-free version of this show and a bonus broadcast every single month. And if you'd like to support me on Patreon, go to patreon.com/SethAndrews. And thanks for the support. Some kind words. Thank you very much. Do I think Trump's an atheist? No, I think he believes in God, and I think he is it. He believes in himself. Anybody else see that ad for the flying car? I just had it on my mind. I guess it's pretty affordable. And it's not like one of those $500,000 rigs that, you know, you see, but none of the common folk like us could ever afford. It's essentially a hovercraft, but it hovers you way the hell up off the ground. So it's a flying car. And they show people scooting around saying, finally, flying cars are available to us, the common folk. And the whole time I'm looking at it going, Jesus Christ, people can't park in the lines to begin with on the ground. They can't drive on terra firma. We're going to put them in the sky. We're going to put them in the air. Jesus, they're going to be falling on people's roofs. They're going to be crashing into radio towers. They're going to be crashing into each other. Is this really what we want? Like, what do you think about the idea of taking people who can't get from point, they can't get from here to the grocery store and back without, you know, fender bending a curb or whatever. And you're going to give them essentially a missile. Say, here, take to the sky, knock yourself out. I mean, aren't you, are anyone else terrified? I love the idea. Like, if we could all pass very specific tests, and there could be like a requirement that only in the zip code, it's just a recreational experience. Maybe. But the idea that we're going to have the highways from Back to the Future 2 in real life, all it takes is one little blip, one little bump, one distraction. Can you imagine some of these people texting at 150 feet doing 110 miles an hour? I can't stand it. Nathan says he drives tractor trailers. He personally thinks it's an insane idea. Yes, it's insane. You know what I want? I want one of those tubes. One of those tubes that Musk is putting together, the transportation tubes you get in and you put in the shares and you buckle yourself in and they shoot you down a tube at like 300 miles an hour. That's what I want. That's technology right there, baby. Shoot me down the tube. Let's see, what else is happening in the chat? God, it moves fast, or maybe I'm just old. Have you ever heard of Francesca Stavrakopoulou? Is that how to say that? Head of religious studies in the UK. I'd be interested in talking. Do I enjoy Sam Harris's podcast? Yeah, I don't listen to a lot of other material because I'm busy producing, but sure. And Sam and I part ways on quite a few things, but I think Sam's a good man. I think he's doing good work. I certainly don't think he is worthy of, or what's the word I'm looking for? He doesn't deserve all the hyperbolic bullshit that's been thrown his direction. There are some things that he said that I take issue with, but he's done more for the cause of free thought in usually before breakfast than most of his critics have done in their entire lives. And I'd like to see him and people in general treated more charitably, not with a blind eye, but also not assuming the worst. Wait. The Hyperloop is a scam? Don't steal my joy. Don't kill my dream. Aren't we all going to be connected? Didn't you see those tubes in The Running Man with Richard Dawson when he shot him down onto the game grid? Those tubes have to exist, and they must come to the United States. Seth, why do families hate their family members? For some, it's a tough love issue. They shun because they are supposed to. They are required by God. I also think that they're so terrified of differences that the shunning provides them a way to not have to deal. Right? If you're close to them, if you're a flesh and blood human being standing next to people, and you are the antithesis of the horrible person that they expected you to be, then, I think it's hard for them. So it's easier just to build the wall and say, bye. Yeah. Call us when you agree with us. There is some hate out there for sure. But I think a lot of them, they just don't process. They tilt. What issues do I disagree with Sam Harris on? Well, I mean, like one of them, we disagree on the issue of identity politics and its usefulness. And again, you guys can, let's just de-escalate. Let's just stop and breathe. And, you know, I'm open to your position on this. But I think to be able to speak about the marginalization of specific groups, you must address them as specific groups. That doesn't necessarily cheat the larger human condition. And this is where nuance is, you know, so important. So when people, when there's a movement like Black Lives Matter, and it exists to address the injustices, racial injustices against those you know, who have undergone so much of it over the decades, over human history. I think you have to, you can use the tool of identity politics, for lack of a better word, to be able to address the injustices against the group and also work to fix it, maintaining in your mind the larger picture of the human condition. We are all Africans. We are all people. We are all flesh and blood human beings living in as brothers and sisters on this earth, kumbaya, that kind of thing. But, you know, he and I disagree about the using of and the defining of specific groups within the larger human tribe. And I understand where he's coming from. I mean, I understand why he thinks it's not productive. But that's one issue that we disagree on. And unlike many, I don't look at Sam and say, fuck that guy, he's human garbage, and he hates black. Pinged him a few times on his website, but, you know, he's a pretty big fish. He's hard to pin down. But we could have that conversation as adults, and we could just sort of, even at the end, if we stood on opposite sides of the issue, I think we would still be friends and friendly. And I still think he's done a lot of good. His work was there for me at a critical time in my own life. Letter to a Christian Nation was you know, one of the first books I ever picked up when I was coming out of my faith. And I appreciate him. I appreciate the work that he does. I appreciate the fact that he seems like he'll talk to almost anybody. You know, there are times when I scratch my head and think, why? You know, but, you know, good for him. You know, we're all adults. We can all be in the room together. We can all have conversations, ideas coming to light. Then you can chew on the ideas and you can accept the best ones, reject the worst ones, and we can have those discussions. Yeah, you know, he's one of the good guys. And I know that's not a popular narrative among some, but it's the position that I hold, and I think it's, you know, a worthy one. Los Angeles, when will I be back? Might be a while. But I would love to come be a part of something in L.A. Things for the Freethought community are less critical in Los Angeles. It's not like going to Atlanta. I was talking to Matt Dillahunty about this. I mean, you go to Memphis or Mobile, Alabama, or you go down to, you know, the deep south, and you're surrounded by people who are atheists in Jesus country. And there's an electricity to those events that you don't quite get. I'm not saying that LA wasn't amazing, because it really was, but you go to LA, San Francisco, you go to many cities on the East Coast, and, you know, it's not as critical because people aren't as judged. It's not as religiously polarized as the Bible Belt states are. And so while I'd love to go back to LA, I'm thinking, you know, I'm working on maybe trying to put something together in Atlanta. I'd love to go to Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. How many mega churches exist in Atlanta? And let's go and, you know, I'll grab Matt or call Kara. We'll get some people out there and host an event at a place where there's Jesus everywhere, where if you throw a stone, you hit two churches. Let's go there and put on some kind of event. And I think that'd be big fun. Let's see. The Northern Skeptic. Thank you very much for those super. Is it a super chat? Is that what we call them? How's everybody doing? You want me to continue for, another few minutes? Or do you want me to put a punctuation mark on it and cut you guys a break? Totally up to you. My favorite atheist YouTubers with less than 10,000 subscribers. I'm going to have to admit, I don't really spend much time watching other content unless I'm traveling. Because if I'm in this studio, I am producing. I mean, I just released a conversation with me and Scott Clifton. I just released, just after that, a conversation with myself and Johnny Pike about the Ark Encounter. I just finished editing a short-form interview with Kara Santa Maria. We shot that footage in Los Angeles. I just finished speaking to a cult member, former cult member, who escaped decades ago and has dedicated his life to helping other people escape cults. We talked for almost an hour. I'm editing that conversation for broadcast. What else was I doing? Oh, yeah, and of course, I'm up to my eyeballs in the audiobook. And so I unless I'm in transit, and lately I haven't been listening to podcasts or watching podcasts as much, I downloaded, and listen, hear me out here, I downloaded the Bernice says, I hate these YouTube streams all turn into pay to play chat with the streamer. There's no way those of us with no extra money can have a voice. Bernice, I just read what you just posted for free. You have a voice. If you have something you'd like to say, please type it out. You know, please, you have, you've got an open forum here. So if there's something on your mind, I'll do my best to keep an eye out for your name. Okay. What the hell was I talking about? Oh, I downloaded on Audible James Comey's book, A Higher Loyalty. He was the FBI director who worked under Obama. He worked actually under Bush decades ago worked under W, then he worked under Obama, and then he was fired by Trump. And, you know, I take him with a grain of salt because, his book is very rah-rah. There's a lot of, we need to be about truth because we have an obligation to the, I mean, some of it comes off as saccharine, but a lot of it does not. And when I've been reading about his dealings with Donald Trump behind the scenes, a very candid sort of a revelation of what those discussions were like, and they all ring true knowing Trump's history and personality and characteristics. I think I'm about 60% through that book. I also downloaded, don't laugh, what's the name of the book? It is written and narrated by Cary Elwes. It is about the making of the Princess Bride film, which is a favorite of mine from decades ago. It's been like 30 years since The Princess Bride came out. So I guess he got Rob Reiner and he got Billy Crystal and he got Robin Wright Penn and he got all these other people together and they collaborated and they look back at the creation of The Princess Bride, and Cary Elwes and several other people lend their voice to talking about the film. And I mean, that's one of those movies that every time it's on, it's one of the most quotable movies, probably behind The Big Lebowski, that I've ever seen. You know, with As You Wish and The Dread Pirate Roberts and Inconceivable and the RUSs, the Rodents of Unusual Size and all that stuff. So I've been listening to that. I just started it. So I've been listening to audiobooks lately and mostly producing. Can you conceive the birth of atheism? I don't think atheism had a birth. It is simply the non-belief in deities. I mean, you're an atheist normally when you're born. I mean, it's an oversimplification to say we're all born atheists. Bernice says, on most streams, they only read the paid comments. No, not here, Bernice. I mean, I'm grateful for the donations. I'm grateful for the support, but, you're live, you're nationwide, you're global. People can see and read, and I appreciate you very much. The most honest, open-minded religious person I've spoken to. Honest and open-minded being two different things. Well, yeah, I'm married to a religious person. I mean, she's not. She's spiritual. And she's probably the best person I know. I mean, not because of she believes in a spiritual anything, but because she's just good. My brother-in-law has a seminary degree and he is, one of the best people I know. He's a person of, and we disagree on a shit ton of stuff, but you know, he would give you the shirt off his back. He is a tremendous helper of other people. He frames it in a religious context, but he's a good man and they are in my close circle. They're really something. Wow. My opinion on corporal punishment for kids. I used to be a spare the rod, spoil the child kind of guy. Now, I think it's unnecessary and wrongheaded and quite often very damaging. And I'm surrounded here in Oklahoma by people who justify by saying, well, I got my ass whipped every time I did something wrong and I turned out just fine. This is the defense of it. And I don't feel that. I don't think that striking a child is not the solution. Can there be free-thinking, open-minded, religious, and spiritual people rather than closed-minded? Can there be free-thinking? God, this thing moves fast. Well, I mean, free thinking and open-minded are two different things. What was that documentary with somebody? Would somebody look it up for me? Because I don't want to derail. But it was the Christopher Hitchens debate documentary called Collision, and he was going on a debate tour with a fundamentalist Christian evangelist. What is his name? Starts with an M. Is that right? But they were talking about how that an open mind is actually meant to close on something. You've heard the saying, don't let your mind be so open that your brain falls out. And so, I mean, I'm all about having an open mind. But if your mind is always open and it accepts anything and everything as equal, and this is often where I'll take issue with the Unitarians when they, you know, some of the more accepting Unitarian churches. Douglas Wilson, thank you for that. Douglas Wilson and Christopher Hitchens in a documentary called Collision, they were talking about how that an open mind is actually meant to close on something. So when, you know, you see the overwhelming avalanche of evolution, for evolution, you are able to then say, well, I now accept that as a point of fact, as scientific fact. This is our reality. Doesn't mean that it's welded shut. Doesn't mean it's permanently closed. It doesn't mean you can't pry it open and then replace it with a better idea. But your mind is meant to close on something. So when somebody comes to you and they're like, well, you're just being closed-minded, they may not be wrong, and you may not be wrong for having a closed mind on the issue, especially if they're, you know, bringing some wacky woo type stuff to the table. But a mind that is always open and accepts anything and everything as equal and acceptable, and hey, do what you love and believe what you love, and it doesn't really matter, it's all truth is relative, you know, that's not helpful. And it's not free thinking. It's more like freewheeling. I think, you know, we go through, we close our minds when we come upon the best ideas. And then if something else good enough comes along, it will then have the power to pry us right back open, and we can make the switch and we can update our thinking. And I think that's a healthy way to look at it. The best videos I recommend on YouTube to watch for someone who's trying to understand evolution and unlearn creationism. Great question. I am not doing this to be self-serving, but I saw a video by Dr. Donald Prothero, who is a renowned 30-plus year paleontologist and geologist and fossils and everything else. And I saw this YouTube video where he was speaking at Caltech, and I was screaming at my freaking monitor because whoever shot the video, they were using the best tools they had at the time, but they had one camera that was shooting his face and then would go up to the screen and then would come back and up to the screen, and the lighting was sucky and everything was just, it just didn't draw viewers in. And his material was so rich that I contacted him and I said, if you are ever in my neck of the woods, let me shoot this right, okay? This content is so good. Let's polish this and let's make it as accessible as we can to people. And he was great. He was doing like a paleontologist convention in Dallas, Texas. So I drove down to Dallas. We rented a studio. I brought like 3-4 cameras, and we shot his speech in front of a small studio audience. So you can YouTube search it. It's called Evolution, What the Fossils Say, and it's by Dr. Donald Prothero. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long, where he brings a ton of easy-to-understand examples about evolution and the evidence for evolution all around us. And yes, this includes the evolution of modern-day human beings. It's based on a book by the same title, Evolution, What the Fossils Say and Why It Matters. YouTube search that. Dawkins has that great, easily digestible rebuttal to the eyes too complex to have evolved. And he, in a matter of, I think, about 10 minutes, shows the evolution of the eye, how it's, we can actually see examples of the evolved eye throughout nature. So those are two really, really, really easy ones to get you started. Let's see. Aaron Ra has a tremendous amount of information. A lot of it's really thick, because he's kind of, when it comes to this stuff, this is his playground. You should have dinner with Aaron Ra when he starts talking about speciation and he gets into all these categories and subcategories and subcategories. It is, you literally feel yourself kind of just having to, don't know, you have to attune your frequencies to be able to receive the frequency of Ra. He's really good at it. Aaron Ra's YouTube channel, aaronra.com, I think is his website. Okay. John said he just woke up from indoctrination, Jehovah's Witness. Man, I never realized until just a few years ago how insidious the Jehovah's Witnesses were. And some of the just straight up evil stuff that was going on in that church. Beyond the shunning, but the control and just the mind fuckery that was happening in the JWs. Glad you got out. I know that can't have been easy. There's a good chance you may have lost the people in your life who they were your social circle. And family, mom, dad, spouse, I've seen it. I've seen these people who come out and they are starting from square one wherever you are. Just understand that the people in this room, many of these people share similar experiences. I busted out of fundamentalism, looking around, wondering how did I get here and what's going to happen with the rest of my life and what if I'm wrong and blah, blah, blah. And it's okay. And it's going to be okay. A life lived honestly on your terms, that's the goal. And any God worth believing in and or worshiping would support that in us. A curious life of discovery, searching for truth, seeking the evidence, and wanting to live truthfully based on the evidence. Why do people try to prove God's existence with faith? How can I explain why faith is not considered knowledge? They're playing the faith card. Good chance you're not going to reach him anyway. I mean, I'm not saying give up. But you're right. Claiming to know what I don't know is not knowing. And so the church likes to play both sides of that coin. Look at all the evidence for God around us. By the way, you must take him on faith because he works in mysterious ways. It's a self-canceling noise that they're making. But most of those people who claim faith, I think, have a greater desire to believe than they have to know. Jordan Peterson, God, you're killing me, was asked for his definition of God, and he said, God is that which we manifest necessary faith. Got any idea what he means by this BS? When I saw his debate with Dillahunty, or discussion, he was invoking God in all kinds of contexts, including the Christian God, but he didn't really link it to Christianity. It was like a weird amalgam of vague, various gods sort of silly putty together in some subjective fashion. I don't know what he was talking about. I have no idea. I have nothing personally against Jordan Peterson. I just wonder, why is he so popular? How do we get here to the point where and the defenses of him, I think, are the things that make me the most crazy. God, am I talking about Jordan Peterson? Promise I wouldn't do. All right. To hear people say, well, he's batshit on these areas, or he's really wrong about these areas, but he actually says a few really good things, is not the kind of thing I would expect when we are defending the intellectual elite out there. Yeah, there's a lot of noise, but there's also a little bit of music. This is not what you want to see on a resume. And the more we discover and the more we understand about his track record, the more we just come to the realization that there are better voices out there. There are better representatives for critical thinking out there, especially when it comes to atheists and God. I've seen him completely misrepresent atheists and atheism. And, I just have a hard time respecting those points of view for that reason. I have nothing personal against the guy. I'm sure he's a good man, a kind guy. He seems like a sweet enough fellow, but if I'm looking for someone who's rooted himself in the evidence amid all this sort of weird psychobabble, I have a hard time understanding. Let's see. Let's do a few more and then I'll pull the plug. Something else I was going to bring up. What was it? You ever do that? It happens more and more as I age. I walk into a room and I go, why don't I walk in this room? You ever do that? I was looking for my car keys the other day. You know what? I had them in my hand. I was like, what did I do with my keys? Holding them in my hand. you know what's next, don't you? Is that I start calling people. It's like, you ever talk to your parents on the cell phone, on any phone? You ever talk to your parents and you end up making this gesture? You're like, really? I have speaker. Now, my folks and I aren't really talking, but I'm trying to be conscious enough of this happening to me as I age that I don't ever become someone when I call you that you put me on speaker and you lay me down on a table and you run your errands while I'm doing that Charlie Brown teacher voice, that because that's essentially what it's like. I'm hoping that by being self-aware about getting older that I will avoid some of the crazy stuff. Like, I want to be like that granny who's still video games. Have you seen that YouTube video? She's like 75 years old. She's playing like Gears of War and stuff like that. She's talking about the noobs online and she fragged somebody's ass. That's what I want to be. I want to be 75 and kicking somebody's ass on Twitch. Damn it. A couple more. Marvin says, they say the mind is the second thing to go, but I can't remember what the first thing was. Isn't that the absolute truth? SCE says, I'm an atheist primarily, but also an anti-theist. I'd like to see all religion squashed in my lifetime. Religion will never go away, but we can marginalize it, and we can remind people that they really don't need it, and it's a distraction. Apriza, thanks so much. Oh, I'm sorry. Aprigia. Seth, if I was to gift you a copy of RimWorld on Steam, would you play it at some point? Interesting moral choices sometimes. Well, I mean, I don't know when I'd get to it, but I would be interested. What's RimWorld? What is it? What does it do? I just started a few days ago Outlast 2. So you're in a helicopter crash at the beginning of the game. You have no weapons. You have no fighting skills. If you are seen by anybody, you've got to either run or get your ass kicked. So yeah, I know it's a video game, John, but what is it? Like, what kind of game is it? So you are essentially going into the lair of this cult. Now, picture Scientology meets Jonestown meets Deliverance meets the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Okay. And so you are at, and these guys are walking around. There's creatures of all kinds. There's torn up bodies and totems that are hanging on posts, blood everywhere. And who knows what the hell's going on. The gist is that I think they're kidnapping women to impregnate them with devils. Now, I don't know this for sure, but there will be, they're talking about how, you know, this unholy union will create this sort of spawn that's going to do something. And that's where I'm at in the game. Well, as busy as I've been, I'm desperate to get back and find out what happens next. Because right now I'm crawling through the cabins and the weeds while all these redneck looking people carrying, you know, axes and machetes and shit with weird symbols all over their bodies are like, hey, you know, get off my land. it's like these country folk who serve the devil. Hillbilly Satanism and human sacrifice. And it's wild. And it's not for everybody. It's a pretty dark game. But, you know, as somebody who enjoys that genre, it's a good fit for me. I might. Look, my Samsung Gear is literally asking me if I would like to stop and do squats. You have been inactive for an hour and 5 minutes. Would you like to do squats? Can I Alexa that, or can I speech to text? Hell no. I'm doing squats. But that's the game I'm playing now. I've got Alien Isolation, but RimWorld, I'd be interested in it. You let me know, you know, what it is, or you can find me via my Twitch stream. It's Seth Andrews, TTA on Twitch. I would have just been Seth Andrews. I'm not the thinking atheist, but I attached the initials because all the other Seth Andrews are taken. You know, it's, I don't know if I should tell you this. Back in 2009, I guess, when I first started, I tried to get the domain of my name, SethAndrews.com. and somebody owned it, and I mean, they weren't interested in selling it. Fine. Yeah, I get it. Somebody got there first. Seth Andrews, I'm guessing, is not an uncommon name. I guess there were a few of them out there. And so more and more time passes, a few years pass, and I go back and I tap him on the shoulder again because there's no website at all. They're not using the domain. It's just parked. And I said, hey, just checking in. When, you know, are you interested in selling the website? Yeah, you know. And they were like, no, thanks. Anyway, you know, I'm getting ready to do this book release in September to a whole new audience. And I really would like to get this domain, which is still really not being used. And so I hire one of those brokers. You spend a few bucks and you have them go and be a broker for you, because I don't have, you know, I go through and find out who these people are and then contact them and go through the back and forth. I'd rather just have somebody handle it, somebody who knows how these negotiations work. Hey, they're not using it. They're probably making it a business thing. They're going to hang on to it, sit on it for a while, and then one day they'll decide that they're being offered enough money and they'll get rid of it. It's like those people back in the day that, and I think this is illegal now, but they'd take brand names like Coca-Cola and they would register those domains in advance of Coca-Cola and then wait for Coke to come in and offer them $1 million. That went on for a short while before it was made illegal, because these are trademarked logos. But, you know, Seth Andrews is just a name. I don't have a trademark on a name, for Pete's sake. So anyway, this broker, they come back and they're like, oh yeah, well, our estimates say it's worth this amount of money. It's like $1,500. Okay. So I'm like, well, Jesus, you know, I'm not a rich man. But I'd sure like to have that in advance of the book going out. And so I went back and I said, look, you know, I'll offer him, I think, like $500-$600, you know, just tell him I'll pay him a few hundred bucks, which must be monumentally naive. And they came back and said, thank you for the offer. And I think they want, in fact, I know they want more. They want $12,000. And I guess, you know, when people register their own names, it is, you know, it's something that, you know, it's important to them. And even if they don't use it, it has a real value to them. It's like a sentimental value. I don't know that this person thinks that I have the resources to pay $12,000 for the domain. I think that it's just like, well, it would take a lot to rip this out of my hands because it's my name. And so I responded to the broker and I was like, well, I would come up with $1,500. I mean, it hurt to say it. Tell him I would come up $1,500 and see what they say. And I'm waiting. I'm sure the answer is going to be no, $12,000. And, you know, there are other, you know, I've got the .net and all that, but, you know, .com, there's just something about the .com that is ubiquitous. It is, you know, it's something that people will reflexively choose first, and it sure would be nice to have it. I thought for a microsecond about doing some kind of a, hey, would anybody out there like to help me raise the money for this? And then I thought, well, that's just stupid. Hell, if we were going to raise 12 grand, you know, it seems like we would want to go out and dig a well in Ethiopia or do something else with it. You know, the idea of getting a domain for such a self-serving purpose. So I rejected that idea. But that's kind of one of those things where I think, God, you know, it's, I guess there's a whole business of people who find names or have names, and, or maybe they just have their own name and they just grab it, pay a few $100, they park it, they sit on it, and they wait. And they wait for somebody like me to come out and, you know, get desperate enough to pay them $12,000. Jesus Christ, buy a used car. You know, how many homeless people could we feed with that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm all about value, but, oh, it hurts my heart. Hurts my heart. So anyway, that's, how do we get off on that? Billy Bob said, I'll sell you my name for $12,000. Unlearning Lies asks, will there be any more god-awful movie collab video reviews soon? Probably not soon. We just did one on the Christian music video from 1984 by DeGarmo and Key called 666. You can find that on the Scathing Atheist podcast. Roof is asking, can I interview on my show? Yeah, I mean, if, you know, depending on the details, just Seth at thethinkingatheist.com. I don't think I would want to register my name with a middle initial. I'd like to keep it simple. I mean, people know me as Seth Andrews. It's Seth Andrews. It's easy. I don't know. We'll see. And it's possible that it's totally a poker game, and maybe they looked up my wiki page or something and decided maybe I was, you know, I was Jordan Peterson. I think someone said Jordan's making like $80,000 a month on his Patreon. Can you imagine? I mean, check me on that. All right. But Jesus, that's a lot of money. Yeah. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm a guy who pays his bills just like everybody else, you know? And so, but it's possible maybe they did a Google search and saw that I was a semi-public. Search engine optimization could give you just as much exposure as having a .com domain. I don't know much about SEO. I'm not well-versed, my friend. Yeah, I'm not. Bernice said sandrews.com. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to wait and see what happens. Last thing is just a thank you from me to you. I'm grateful for you. I don't get to say it often enough, but you are providing a sense of connection and community for me that it's just critical. It is a, it drives me. It, you know, gets me up in the morning. It keeps me going. It's a privilege to be able to be a part of these conversations in this way and to have them ripple into your lives and to hear the feedback that maybe it helped, or you heard an interview that was encouraging, or maybe you were going through a tough time and you heard something that made you laugh out loud, or, you know, whatever, maybe just mashing away at the keyboard during the chat here and having a conversation. You know, that is, that's huge for me, and it means a lot. And there's a lot of noise out there. There are a lot of opportunities to get discouraged, but don't be discouraged. You know, we are looking at an amazing moment in history where people across the world are connecting as we're connecting now, thanks to technology, and we are creating like a sense of community and family thanks to this technology. So while in many ways it is dehumanizing, it is also humanizing. It is connecting. It is allowing us to talk to people who are escaping the Jehovah's Witness Church and came to be a part of the broadcast, and someone who escaped the Catholic faith and is here being a part of the broadcast, and lifelong atheists who are frustrated by the religious insanity in this world, and they come and be a part of the chat and watch the videos. And so whether it's here or on the Twitch channel, or whether it's on the radio podcast, on the blog, on the website, no matter where, it's your input and participation are something that are priceless to me. I'd pay much more than $12,000 if I needed to be able to have that with you. So that's my thank you to you. You know, the work that happens here, it means nothing if there's nobody listening and participating and you know, giving critiques and feedback and encouraging and part of that process. And, you know, otherwise it's just me talking to the wall. It's me just talking to an empty mic. You are the thing, you're the key that makes the whole community, the whole machine run. And that's massive. It's just huge. So thank you for that. And know how much you mean to me. I'm going to see you in Austin, Texas. I'll be there on Sunday for the 1,000th episode of the Atheist Experience television show. Congrats to them. Their website for the live stream and the archive is atheist-experience.com. And I will see you back here next week. And until then, you take care.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.